coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
Fifth person voted out of Survivor Game Changers. JT.
Damn.
Can you bring me a torch?
Tell Malcolm you sent him home, too.
I will.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash, and today we are talking about Survivor Game Changers, a season that is not looked at with a positive lens, really. A lot of people seem to think this season is among the worst, but we will see if it holds up as one of the worst, or it's maybe a surprisingly not bad season. But judging from what happens on this season, I don't know. But anyway, let's just get right on into Survivor Game Changers. And if you have not subscribed yet, please do. Once we hit a 100 subscriber total, I am going to be releasing my season rankings of the entire series of Survivor. So if you want to see that, just hit that subscribe button. Tell your friends to subscribe. Tell your mom to subscribe. You should probably call your mom. She probably misses you. You should definitely call your mom, especially after what we had to deal with last season. But yeah, let's just get right into Survivor Game Changers. Hurrah. Subscribe if you love your mom. Don't subscribe if you hate your mom. Oh, gee willikers, just who am I going to put at the bottom of this list? I don't know who to put at the bottom of this list. Oh, I guess I'm going to have to put Jeff Varner. How the hell is Jeff Varner a game changer? Jeff Varner starts off entertaining enough and being the same character he was on Cambodia, but none of that matters because he is defined by one single heinous line. Why haven't you told anyone that you're transgender? Probably because it's none of anyone's fucking business, but if it was just that and that alone, it wouldn't be enough to cause my level of hatred towards this man. Outing a trans person is bad enough, but how he framed it. He framed it as a deception, which is so egregious I can't even wrap my head around how he ever thought that was an okay thing to not only think, but actually say out loud, on television, in front of the entire world. If he was just some old straight guy, I could chalk it up to, oh, he didn't know how bad that was. But no, the dude's gay. The dude's a Gen Xer gay guy. He should know how dangerous it is to out people, especially with how much violence and hatred there is towards the queer community, especially back then. He knew better. There's no way he couldn't have. There's no way that he didn't know that that wasn't okay. But okay, maybe one day I'm feeling especially generous and decide to look past all that. Oh look, now he's at the reunion, plugging his book called Surviving Shame, and making it all about him, while saying that he's not making it all about him and that it's always about Zeke. No, he is. The title alone gives it away. I don't even need to read it to know it's most likely, where, poor me, I'm the real victim here. Because that's what he did when he was being called out for it. Oh no, Twitter is being mean to you though? Aw, poor baby. Okay, but what if I decided to even look past that? Okay. Oh, he defends Dan Spilo and is in general just a total pick-me gay in the outside world. Nope, yeah, maybe this guy just sucks. And the fact that he was mildly entertaining to watch doesn't mean jack shit. Fuck Jeff Varner. I want him to learn and be a better person, but I'm not sure if he wants to or is capable of doing so. I'm glad he played 3 times and never made the jury. Watching him hug Zeke that episode and say, I really like you and hope we can be friends, just made me shake my head. He deserves to get sent right into a Fijian volcano. Fuck Jeff Varner. And getting all the hatred out of the way, we actually just get to someone that I feel absolutely nothing for, and that is the return of Haley Ford. Haley Ford couldn't change a Nintendo cartridge. How the hell is she a game changer? Haley opens up the season calling herself a Cobra, and I actually laughed out loud because, excuse me, what moves did you even make on Worlds Apart? Debbie gets mad at her for being better than her at walking a balance beam and gaslights her and says Haley took 10 minutes to do it. She was first out the merge challenge and the first out the merge. It's extremely easy to forget that Haley was even on the season, aside from the fact that her returning as a game changer was so baffling it was actually memorable. What do people see in Haley? Can somebody please tell me? What is her appeal? Comment it. Just tell me. I need to know. I mean, she's cute, I guess? For the second time, she's going in meh. And right after Haley Ford, we actually have the next boot of that merge episode. We have Ozzy Lust. Game changer? Depends what you mean by game. I mean, he definitely broke challenges. Ozzy seems so checked out this season. It's like he woke up the day of his flight and just went, well, here we go. Another season of Survivor. Great. I was hoping there would be some kind of conclusion or arc with how Suri blindsided Ozzy on Micronesia, and now they're on the same trap again, and it's just kind of left alone outside of Suri being like, hey, my bad. I mean, it makes sense. He was the one who revealed Amanda was the brains behind the blindside sometime after Micronesia aired. He might genuinely not blame Suri for it. Even though, if you ask me, that was Suri's move. But, alright, Ozzy, cool, you're letting bygones be bygones. I mean, I am glad he told Jeff Varner he should be ashamed of himself. I'm glad Ozzy showed support for Zeke. Ozzy just doesn't do much on this season. And it's sad that such a great character went out on such a low, uninspired note. He is, however, very loud and very wrong at Final Travel Council when he campaigns and champions Frig Brad. Sadly, I gotta put him in there. Next up, we actually have the first boot, we're going back, and we have Sierra Easton. You could argue Sierra Easton is a game changer, but that's why she had to go early. Sierra doesn't do anything, but she also doesn't get the chance to do anything. They get the Sierra Easton content checklist out and go, okay, voted out her mom, check, talk about making big moves, check, more references to her playing with her mom, check, okay, done. That's a Sierra Easton edit in the bag. But that's all there really is to her this season. What was the point of bringing back Sierra twice when they were just gonna rehash the same crap both times? Feels like a huge waste because it is. Maybe it turns out Sierra isn't that great of a character after all? I mean, she is one of the only people who's going into meh twice. God, people are gonna hate me for this. Next up, we have another in the series of why the hell did this guy return, but we have Caleb Reynolds. Caleb is not a game changer. What is wrong with you, CBS? Caleb starts out as one of Tony's alliance of threats, but once Tony's out, he doesn't have much to cling on. He gets swap screwed to worsen his game, and not even his connection with Ty can save him from being voted out unanimously. Him and Ty could have made magic together, but Brad said no. Not much to say about Caleb. It's cute him and Ty got to kiss each other again, but not even that can take one of the most underwhelming returnees of all time out of meh. Next up, we have someone I'm actually really disappointed to have this low, but we have Troyzann Robertson. The only thing Troyzann changed was his underwear. Come on, nobody from One World not named Kim had any kind of notable gameplay. Troyzann is very affable the entire season, I must admit, but he doesn't do anything the entire time. He's so purpled, and I always forget that he's even there. I mean, him finding the idol was cool. It was an extremely obvious spot, but it was cool. But at the end of the day, he was basically Brad's bitch the entire season. I didn't even notice him half the time, and I don't think the rest of the cast noticed him either, because the guy somehow made it to the end of the game without having his name written down once. They barely noticed him at Final Tribal Council, too. Sorry, Troyzann, buddy, but I gotta put you in meh. And now we are getting to a very long string of rootable tiers, and we start off with someone who is here only because he wasn't rootable and very unlikable and fun to root against. We have James JT Thomas. JT is a game changer for achieving the first perfect game, and that's why they made him ruin his legacy and play a terrible game. I kind of love how he still has this broken front tooth from Token Chain's. Like, dude, you're a millionaire. You can't fix a chipped tooth. JT is entering the Fuzzy Lumpkins era of his life. I can picture him in a trailer park, wearing a wife beater, drinking a beer, watching NASCAR, screaming at his kids to shut up. Is that offensive? Probably. He just has that energy to him this season, and it's just kind of funny seeing a decline of JT. Like, geez, no wonder he wasn't on Winners at War. He abandons his entire tribe on a raft to go look for an idol, which is humorous, but the way he treats Michaela pisses me off. He blames her for the sugar being gone, says he needs to babysit her, even mocks her voice at Tribal Council. But it's what helps secure his downfall with an idol in his pocket. I don't dislike him enough to put him in any annoying tier, even though he did get close to it, but I am going to chalk it up to a fun downfall. Next up, we actually have someone else who almost landed in the annoying tier, and that is Debbie Wanner. Not a game changer. Only a job changer. Debbie reveals that she works not for money, but for military training, which is probably the most bizarre thing she's said so far. So is her gaslighting her tribe trying to say that Haley took a while on the balance beam when it was her who was fucking it up? But she blames Haley, which is bizarre. Haley even congratulated her when Debbie finally finished that balance beam. It was just for peanut butter and jelly. It wasn't that big a deal. Plus, milk in hot weather sounds gross anyway. I don't get why she was so mad. I don't think she was actually angry when yelling at Brad, though. You can see her laughing when she's yelling that he crushed her heart, which the edit hides over dramatic music, which I found humorous. She's just being ridiculous and mad at herself and just projecting. She's nuts. She even reveals her 8-pack while mentioning it, and it's just a flat stomach, and I'm not saying she's not in shape. She's in amazing shape, especially for a woman her age, but, yeah, that's not really an 8-pack. You could sort of meet her halfway before, but now she's just gone far off the deep end. And apparently she's a gymnast now. You can just add that to the 45 other jobs she has. She then gets sent to exile when she draws no buff, which turns out to be a yacht with a four-course dinner, an advantage, and she even gets to meet Cochran. Oh boy, what a prize! Imagine if Ozzy had drawn that no buff. I would have laughed so hard. I imagine he goes up to Cochran like, sup bitch, like he's still pissed off about South Pacific. It might have made Ozzy get out of man, which would have been amazing if that happened, honestly. Even Cochran is like, oh, it's Debbie? Fuck. She pretends to be drunk at the merge and moons Ty, and I don't understand exactly why she did that. It wasn't funny, it was just kind of confusing, and I'd rather not think about it. Anyway, she gets too comfy in her alliance and starts acting cocky the same way she did in Koh Rang, and just like in Koh Rang, she gets voted out early merge by Aubrey. She then flips off Sarah from the jury. Debbie's return was pointless, but I guess I can throw her in mildly entertaining. Next up, we actually have another confusing returnee on this season in Sierra Dawn Thomas. God, are you kidding me? Sierra Dawn Thomas, a game changer? Yeah, Sierra Dawn Thomas, fan favorite game changer. Sure, Jan. Sierra is more interesting than she was on Worlds Apart. Not much more interesting, but hey, at least she does stuff. She's in the initial majority alliance with Brad until the Debbie blindside, and she has a final three deal with Sarah that falls through. She has the legacy advantage and tells Sarah she'll give it to her if she's voted out, and it's such a terrible game move. Sarah just burned her, and now Sierra is like, oh, by the way, if you vote me out, I'll give you this advantage, but you wouldn't do that, right? It was just baffling gameplay from an otherwise pretty good social player. She, like Haley, goes out in a similar spot as she does in One World because she's too close to Brad. Sarah's okay. Mildly entertaining. Next up, we actually have someone that I really didn't know what to do with, and here we have Zeke Smith. So, does game changer just mean played a decently strategical game this season? Poor Zeke. I mean, he did have the perfect tribe for that to happen to him, at least. At least they were all supporting him. I don't know if it's the same, if his tribe is like Brad, Troyzan, JT, Caleb. No, instead it's women and men who are LGBTQ. So, Jeff Varner gets the verbal spanking he deserves from his tribe, so Zeke didn't have to do the fighting himself, which was great. That entire scene, as shitty as it is so powerful. Support for trans people or trans characters really in general are so astronomically rare that most people are like Sarah and they've never met a trans person in their life. It sucks because Zeke could have gone 2 seasons without being known as the trans survivor player, which is what Zeke wanted to do. And I'm not sure how much control he had over whether or not the footage could be aired, but Zeke may have said he had a choice, but I don't know. He may be just saying that just to not make CBS look bad and be in good, like, standings with them. Sadly, it was also Zeke's downfall. He was looked at as a threat for his story now, so Jeff really did screw over Zeke. It's hard not to define his Game Changers experience with just that tribal, as much as Zeke would hate that someone was doing so. Like, Zeke wouldn't want this assessment, and it's kind of breaking my heart to do so, but I have to because it's the fucking truth. Everything Zeke didn't want to happen happened. He did become the trans survivor player this season. It defined him, and that sucks. It's a hard pill to swallow. Other than that, he's the same Zeke he was last season, talking strategy and being a tad game body, and I wish he was as good of a character last season. He just doesn't have those same great moments this time around. He also just seems like he's not in the headspace to play the game at the merge, and you really just feel bad for him. He's impossible to separate from the ickiness of the season. They milk it at the finale, too. It's kinda gross. I have to put Zeke in Deserve Better, and I kinda hate that I have to put him there. I'm so sorry, Zeke. That didn't feel good doing, and I feel gross, but shake it off, shake it off. Alright, next we have Andrea Bulkey. Andrea is not a game changer, but they knew some fucked up shit was going to happen on the season, so they invited her back as part of her biannual traumatization. I actually forgot she was on the season until the second swap. I actually said out loud, "Oh yeah, Andrea's here. I forgot." Her reaction to Jeff outing Zeke also matches how I felt on the inside. And it's kind of nuts how she's played 3 times and made the jury each time. She's also a bit of a challenge beast this season. She wins 2 immunities. I'm amazed. She didn't reveal the fact that she lost a sister before this season, or maybe knowing me, she did and I just missed it, but it does add a lot of depth to her character and puts a lot of things in context and turns her into a really sympathetic figure that you actually want to root for. It made me feel for her. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of sick of Andrea Bulkey. I don't need to see Andrea Bulkey ever again. She's played 3 times and never made it past vaguely rootable to me, but I think this is her best showing. Still not getting out of this tier. She's going in cute. Next up, we have Ty Trang. If by game changer you mean he was nice to animals, then sure. His entire first episode is just him being overeager about the chickens and how to take care of them. He then starts finding idols and using them in ways that boot out the favorites like Malcolm and Suri. He then openly names Ozzy as a threat in front of Ozzy to the rest of the tribe, and I'm wondering what the hell Ty was thinking there, if he was even thinking at all. Maybe it was just a red herring and the plan was Sandra all along and he was just making it seem like he was voting Ozzy? I don't know. That whole tribal might as well have been just a show. At the loved ones visit, we finally get to meet Mark, his boyfriend, and their love is so fucking cute. I can just tell Mark feels like he's the luckiest guy in the world for having found someone as wonderful as Ty. It made me tear up just a little bit. They're just so cute together. Ty then makes a major fuck up at Final 7 and basically blows up his own game by openly targeting Sarah, causing everyone not to trust him, and then for some reason he tells Brad and Troyzan about his idols. Ty is rather frustrating on this season, and he shows that aside from being good at finding idols, he's kind of a shit player despite making it to the finale twice. I mean, Keith did too, so I mean, but Ty's still in Q. And next we have the third worst thing that happened this season. We have Malcolm Freeburg. Malcolm was a game changer as a challenge beast who actually knew how to strategize and play an amazing social game. But that's why he had to go out when he did, in the way he did. This is game changers after all. He catches a freaking goat. The tribal he goes out is crazy. I'm not sure if it's the first live tribal, but it's definitely the first where everyone is running around going into groups and whispering while Jeff is watching on with amazement, knowing this is fantastic television. JT totally screws Malcolm. He tells Brad that they're all voting for Sierra, causing Malcolm to get idled out of the game. Malcolm has said himself that he's not a crier, so seeing him cry when he gets voted out was so heartbreaking. He even says, "I'm gonna vomit." What a shit way to go. I feel for Malcolm. He should not have gone out in the way he did. Even JT feels bad for what he did, and even he's crying. Malcolm wasn't as great a character this time around, and he goes out with a whimper, not a bang. He deserves another chance to right this wrong. I hope he's cast for, like, Survivor 50 so that this isn't his last showing. Maybe an older Malcolm won't be seen as much of a threat, and he can finally make it to the end. Who knows? This castrated version of Malcolm, though, I got him put it below where he normally goes, into Rootable. And he's going into Golden Boy. And yes, we are still in the Rootable tier. We have Aubrey Bracco. Okay, yeah. I like Aubrey, but what exactly did she revolutionize enough to become a game changer? The anxiety-ridden girl-turned-badass trope that this show loves? I don't know. She's not as dynamic a character as she was on Ko Rong, but how could she? She had an incredible arc, and her arc is done, so it's just Aubrey now. Hearing her open up about how hard it is to assimilate yourself back into real life after Survivor was the type of content we really don't get that much of on Survivor up until this point. It was nice to hear, because I imagine it can't be easy. We've discussed 500 people who have done it, and I wonder how everyone else got back into the groove of living their life once they're done on Survivor. I feel like there needs to be a therapist that specializes in reality TV for these people, because I'm sure it's not only Survivor that just kind of fucks with your head like that. I am really fascinated by Beyond the Show type stuff like that. Hell, sometimes even more than the shows themselves, so it was cool to get that insight. She just doesn't really have that much of a story, sadly, but it's Aubrey, and it's always cool seeing her having a deep run. She embraces the meme and says coleslaw again, but it's not nearly as great this time around, and it felt really forced. Aubrey doesn't have any real standout moments, and honestly, it's hard to even find things to say about what she did this season, but she's still a rootable person, and I'm gonna throw her in good player since she's one of the ones Survivor nerds are still rooting for if they're not rooting for Suri. Next up, we have Brad Culpepper. Let's be real, Brad isn't a game changer. Jeff just really, really wanted him back and was pissed he missed the cut for Cambodia. It's kind of cute how he openly admitted he liked to decorate with his wife. It was kind of adorable. He plays his game the way Monica would in his eyes, and it brings him to the same exact spot, losing finalist. Brad controls the pre-merge and the merge up until he doesn't. Brad ties the record for most immunity wins this season, and he wins his way to the final three, wherein he was a dead man walking after the Sierra boot. But unlike Fabio, Bob, and Mike, he can't pull the jury votes to win over Sarah. He has this tendency to bully people and try to get people to do what he wants, which doesn't sit well with the jury. He has a pretty bad Final Tribal Council performance, where he proves he barely knows anything about who Michaela is as a person, and not owning the fact that he was kind of a dick to Ty. He's entertaining enough as a challenge beast, but in my opinion, he wasn't as big a character as he was on Blood vs. Water, despite making it way farther. You really remembered Brad on that season, while with Game Changers, he doesn't have those, like, all-time great confessionals like the Culpepper Mask. He's just kind of a milquetoast, hero-in-his-own-mind challenge beast on this season, but I still want to put him in mildly entertaining. And now we are at the final five, and we are still in C tier. We have the winner of the season, Sarah Lucina. To her credit, while she was not a game changer on Kageyan, ironically she changed the game on Game Changers. She's basically invisible in the pre-merge, along with Andrea. She then gets her first major piece of content with the Zeke outing. I really don't want to be one of those people who give Sarah a trophy and a medal simply just for being okay with trans people, since I feel like that's problematic in its own right, but hearing Sarah open up about never knowing a trans person before Zeke and how meeting and loving Zeke has helped her be more accepting of other people in her life was a great thing to hear on a television show being watched by people who probably are like Sarah and they've never had any real experience with a trans person other than what they've seen on TV and movies, which is another can of worms that will make this one-on sentence even longer. And I don't know, it was just nice to see Sarah's support. I love how she stayed mad at Varner, too. She didn't forgive him the way Ty did. It was probably her biggest character moment on the season. Sarah grabbing the advantage that Michaela could have easily grabbed was also an example of how good she is at playing this game. And she uses that as a point at Final Tribal Council, and it's what sets her apart from the rest of the players. She was always aware of her surroundings, even when others weren't. She was also an amazing social player. Everyone in the game thought she was their best friend, and even when she was stabbing them in the back, they were still rewarding her for it. She played a badass game. I really respect it. I think it's one of the best we've seen so far. However, as a character, she left something to be desired. She doesn't have that amazing downfall in Kageyan that elevated her for me here, so even though as a player I thought she was among the best, as a character, I'm gonna be putting her around people like Tina Wesson and Kim Spradlin as rootable winners that don't have many standout character moments, and put her in good player. And now, we get to top four, and we are finally out of that tier, and we have the first great character of the season, Tony Vlachos. Tony is definitely a game changer, which is why he had to go in the first episode. He introduced himself to the tribe by yelling out, "Hey guys, I'm gonna go look for the idol," and making Daffy Duck noises as he runs off. He expects everyone to chase after him and for him to turn around and go like, "I'm just kidding," but that doesn't happen, and he just ends up looking like an asshole. He's just slowly jogging like, "I expected everyone to be chasing me, now what do I do?" He then has one of the worst ideas since Rupert's underground log cabin in All-Stars when he starts digging a spy bunker, which Troyzan basically catches him doing. It's such a stupid idea that even if Tony lasted long enough to complete it, I can't think of any way it would be worth the time and effort and all the work you would have to put in to build the fucking thing, dig all that sand out, find a place for the sand, figure out a way to hide yourself in a way where you can hear people talking and not be seen, and also you have to be completely still and silent as there's bugs crawling all over you, and all that effort for maybe you overhear one or two conversations. It's a terrible plan, and I'm glad he improved on it in Winners at War. He's not even a bad player here, and it's a common viewpoint that he performed poorly on Game Changers so he can be viewed as not big of a threat and win Winners at War. It makes sense, but I don't think it was fully intentional. He clearly wanted to win this season. He goes full cop on Sandra, and you don't do that to Sandra, so she gets her own five-person alliance going and blindsides Tony all in one episode. His boot is great. That's what you get, and the queen stay queen. Yeah, yeah, say hi to Sierra for me. He knew the king is only the king until the queen arrives. Tony is still a great character on this season, and he goes into delightfully crazy. Right above the Survivor King, we have the Survivor Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine. Sandra is definitely a game changer, and that's why she couldn't make the merge. I love seeing how Sandra adapts to the modern game, but I always feel like Sandra is a player that doesn't make it far on any season she will play on from then on, for obvious reasons. She's fucking Sandra. She will win if you ignore her. Sandra is delightful this entire pre-merge, and you can't have her on a season and not have her be a star. She's the Survivor Queen for a reason. I love how everyone feels bad about catching the goats after realizing it's a mama and a baby, and they're like, nah, we don't want to kill these goats. While Sandra is 100% on board with it, like, nah, fuck that. I'm hungry. Let's kill these goats. While everyone else has a cautious. If Sandra had her way, I'm pretty sure she would cook and eat the baby first and stare right into the mama goat's eyes as she's eating her baby. Sandra's just that bitch. Sandra eating all the sugar and getting JT to blame it on Michaela was a brilliant move and was the cause of JT's boot. Even if you ask me, JT was most likely the next to go anyway, but Sandra cementing that fact was still amazing. Sandra is great and still a queen even when she's taken out early due to being swap screwed. They even give her her flowers as she's going out. Everyone acknowledges the queen, as do I. Even with a short stint, she's still going into love. Now, I had so much trouble with these final two. I went back and forth multiple times, and number two, we actually do have Suri Fields. Wait, an actual game changer? Who made it far? Well, Suri, from the start, is the easiest person to root for on the season, and you will all the way up until the advantage getting. Survivor seems to want Suri to win so bad, as do the rest of the viewers, but she can just never catch a break. I've heard Suri never winning be described as proof that Survivor isn't fixed, because they could have just fixed the Suri win at one point if it actually was. Plus, how can you say it's fixed if from the beginning, Hatch won against the way more popular Kelly, Tina won against the King of the Golden Boys, Colby, Chris Darity won after betraying Jeff's literal girlfriend, and also, hey, Vesepia fucking won. They hated Vesepia for some reason. I will never understand Jeff's stance on that. I guess people just want to invent conspiracy theories for everything. But Suri was robbed, plain and simple. Congratulations, Survivor. You have all those idols that you love, but now guess what? It single-handedly caused Suri to lose the game despite receiving zero votes. Good job, guys. I kinda hate Survivor sometimes. Suri seeing a younger her and Michaela was really cute to hear, and I could totally see a young Suri being a lot like Michaela. It's almost like she sees her as a daughter. It's super adorable, and I love their dynamic. I love it when two of my favorites team up. It's like a crossover episode. I felt the same when Courtney and Sandra were in Alliance on Heroes vs. Villains. Suri also has such a great heartfelt moment in the Balance Beam Challenge where the entire tribe is supporting her as they help her dig deep. Dig, woman, and cross a balance beam she thought was impossible. It was so great having to have that for herself. Even Michaela stops being mad for a second to support her girl, Suri. It's really cute and powerful. Suri rules. I don't understand how they let her get this far in the game. I've said it before, I would be gunning for Suri immediately because she's a huge threat, like Sandra. If you ignore her, she will control the game. She commits her only truly bad move in Survivor history when she tries to use Sarah's steal a vote against her without reading the fine print that it's non-transferable. Apparently there's an unaired debate about it where Sarah had to argue her point to Jeff. She kinda gets caught looking stupid there. How she made it all the way to the final six amazes me, and she only goes out in wonky circumstances due to absolutely no fault of her own, and it's one of the most bullshit boots in the history of the show. It's actually a huge knock against the season. There's a chance she could make it to the end, and if she does, she probably beats Sarah. It sucks because every single season Suri has been in, she's gone out in wonky circumstances, never ever being a consensus boot. In Panama, it was fire-making. Micronesia, it turned from a final three to a final two. In Heroes vs. Villains, she gets idled out. Like, it sucks. She even does well on Big Brother, but she doesn't win. She's a legendary social player. I'm glad Survivor understands how amazing of a reality television character Suri Fields is. This was such a heartbreaking yet epic way to end Suri's Survivor career. Suri deserves nothing but the best, and Game Changers, to its credit, reminds you in the modern era that Suri is still one of the greatest to ever play the game, even if she didn't win. She's going into favorite. Now, at number one, we have someone that I am so amazed that I put above Suri, Sandra, and Tony. Three people that are in my top six of all time so far. we have Michaela Bradshaw. According to Jay, she was the first strategical person ever, so she might have been a game changer without me realizing it. Michaela is still just as amazing as she was last season. And hey, look, she actually makes it far. She teams up with Sandra in the pre-merge, and the Sugargate tribal, yes, I'm calling it that, is so hilarious. Michaela brings a thermos of water, pours into a mug, and just sips it like tea as JT's getting voted out. I love her little hair flip and saying, "Tell Malcolm you sent him home." She also has a coconut that she uses as popcorn for another tribal. Michaela was at least a game changer when it came to bringing food to tribal. Suri and Michaela's bond is amazing, and I wish if they ever do a Survivor duo season, they include Michaela and Suri. I also love how mad she gets when they don't pick her for challenges. They some bitches. It's great. She's so busy being mad that she misses a crucial secret advantage that's right there, and actually the cause of her boot later. Michaela's mom seems great too. Also, she has a lot of depth this season. Seeing her break down crying when Zeke was voted out was something I really didn't expect to see from her. She's trying hard not to play with her heart on her sleeves, and she has a lot of growth this season despite clearly needing some work still. But no, Michaela's perfect. I'm not calling her flawed or anything. No, never. What she lacks in social ability, she makes up for by being an absolutely amazing character in both her seasons. I'm glad she got a decent run. I'm glad she got to work with a legend in a game in Suri. And I'm glad Michaela got to right the wrong that was her early Millennials vs. Gen X exit. I love how happy Michaela was when she went out on a brilliant move from Sarah. Michaela is incredible, and I really want to see her just at least one more time. Just please, CBS, one more time. She is always going to be going into favorite. And that was Survivor Game Changers, and aside from the extremely low lows on the season, wasn't that bad. I at least enjoyed it more than Caramelin. I'm gonna stick to that. It's at least more enjoyable than Caramelin. The pre-merge is a lot of fun, and up until the Zeke outing, it's pretty great. I will say that. But, you know, once it's the merge, it gets a little bit boring. I understand that. And, yeah, it's just not as great as it could be. But it's not like a truly bottom tier season. And I don't know if I'm going to get flack for that. But I'm just being honest here. Anyway, next up on the docket, we have Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. A season I don't think is that bad either. Like, a lot of people hate this season for some reason. I remember my first time watching it, I enjoyed it. I mean, sure, Ben's like a little bit of a lackluster winner, but it was a lot of fun. I fucking love Dr. Mike. But if you made it this far, you are a legend. I love you. You're amazing. You are part of why I make these videos. Mostly it's for me. I enjoy it. But it's also for you. I hope to see you in Heroes vs. Healers vs. Hustlers. And I hope I can keep remembering the order of that name. So, goodbye.